Earning a living is a necessary discipline for contemporary life. We can't survive without the means to do so. Money is the currency for food and shelter. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll offers time-tested biblical wisdom on how to handle our finances. His message comes from the series Hilarious Generosity. Yes, sometimes money brings opportunity and happiness, but money isn't a panacea for our problems. And over the next 3 days, Chuck will present 6 principles that will alter your pursuit and consumption of wealth. Chuck titled his message, Timeless Principles of Money Management.
Turn, please, to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. We're involved in a brief series of studies from the scriptures on what we've called hilarious generosity. And indeed, generosity is meant to be like that, full of joy. And we're drawing from both Old and New Testament principles to guide our thinking by as we consider the importance of breaking with the signs of our times as we open our hands in the midst of a tight-fisted world where giving is frowned on and often handled grudgingly and, in fact, is frequently dismissed as not that significant. It's amazing when you go to the Bible and find how much is written about our treasure, and Proverbs is no exception. I'll read a few selected Proverbs from this book as we begin in chapter 1. Now that you've turned, please stand with one another for the reading of the scriptures. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, King of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Now, chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Chapter 15, same book, verse 16. Better to have little with the fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. And one other chapter, 28, verse 22. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Verse 25, greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to purchase our Searching the Scriptures spiral-bound workbook for this series by going to insight.org/offer. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Timeless Principles of Money Management.
One of my favorite pastimes is browsing bookstores. I'm not particular what kind of bookstore. It may be new books, maybe antique books, used books, half-priced books. Doesn't matter. They're books. I like the way books feel. I even like the way they smell. I'm really weird. I like the feel of books. Recently, while I was in a half-priced bookstore, to the surprise of this guy, I looked up and there's a full shelf of my books sitting there with a big sign that says, Swindoll Stuff, $10 or best offer. To make it worse, they were covered with dust. Nobody had even touched them. Oh, that really makes an author feel great. It's a great moment. Books have funny titles. Have you noticed? I was in one bookstore a number of years ago, and there was a book called A Book for Mechanics Who Don't Know the First Thing About Cars. Isn't that intriguing? So I picked it up, and I opened to the table of contents, and I looked up Changing a Flat Tire. I thought, okay, this ought to be good. Number one, insert trunk key in trunk key slot. Turn clockwise. Okay, got it. You won't believe this. Number two, locate tire in trunk. Really? I expected number three to be breathe in, breathe out. Today we don't call them books like that. We call them books for dummies. Have you noticed? There's a whole raft of books for dummies. They cover every subject. Cooking for dummies, gardening for dummies, public speaking for dummies, math for dummies, parenting for dummies. There's even sex for dummies. I didn't look, but the book was sitting there. It occurred to me that the book of Proverbs could be called a book of living for dummies. This is a book written about living wisely for those who often don't have a clue. Not meant to insult anyone, but it's a fact. Most of you would find it hard right now to remember one time over the past number of months this year when you have turn to a proverb to guide you through something in your life you were dealing with. There's an example. Just this past week, I had a man, very intelligent individual, tell me about a scam that he fell into in his own neighborhood. He said the guy passed all the sniff tests, every one of them, and he said he just won me, and I found myself reaching deeply and giving to this particular need, only to find later that it was completely a scam. We don't have the wisdom we need. These proverbs are all here. Interestingly, there are 31 chapters, making it very neat for us to read through them once a month, a chapter every day. You can get all the way through the proverbs. I read a little book this past week of a father who has taught his children to do that, and his little, I think it was 11-year-old boy, walked in and said to him, Dad, I've just read through the book of Proverbs for the 8th time, as he has gone through it for 8 months. You can do that. These are words to live by. In fact, I've given you a place in your outline for you to follow along with me directly as we look at Proverbs as a whole, and then as we pick a subject the subject of generosity or giving, and we'll home in on that. First, let me give you four important facts about Proverbs that I have discovered. The book is ancient, but its contents are timeless. Isn't that interesting? This old, old book, many of the Proverbs written by King Solomon long ago. But when you read his words, it's like, that's the best advice I have read this year. Times may change, but principles do not. Here's another thought on Proverbs. The chapters are almost impossible. They're difficult to outline, but every verse is easy to understand. The chapters I would lay before any of you, even you who are serious about your Bible study, try to outline a chapter in Proverbs, to say nothing of the book itself. Almost impossible to do, but you come to a particular verse or a couple of verses put together on the same subject, you got it wired. The verses can be understood by a teenager. In fact, as one of our grandsons was growing up, we took time on a particular period to read the Proverbs together. He understood every one of them, of course. They're easily understood. You don't need it decoded or even explained. Here's a third. The topics are numerous, but each subject can be singled out, and each subject is helpful. We're going to do that today. Take whatever subject you wish, and you need a concordance, which is a book that lists alphabetically all of the words in the Bible. Pick a word, and you want to study that word in Proverbs, as I have done in working my way through this subject of money in Proverbs, and I'll give you some synonyms in a moment. And I found in the concordance, verse after verse after verse, it's almost like a finances for dummies, spelled out right here for anyone to understand. Here's one more fact. The Proverbs are packed with wisdom, but rarely consulted. I'm going to go out on a limb and say your credit card would not be maxed out if you were a student of Proverbs. You would not have made that purchase that you could not afford if you had, before the purchase, really taken a few Proverbs seriously. You see, here in these 31 chapters are all kinds of things. There are warnings, there are promises, there are guidelines. This is great guidance for you who struggle with your money. And who knows, in our gathering today, how many of you have maxed out your credit cards? Who knows how many of you are late making your payments? Who knows how many of you have overbought, and haven't we all in our lifetime, at least once or twice, bought something that was more expensive than we could afford? Knowing the Proverbs will guard us from allowing that to happen. And it's not just a series of rebukes on shaming the reader. Not that at all. In fact, there's none of that. These are good guidelines. There are words of encouragement. And there are principles, as we're going to see today. Knowing that we toss that word around in church a lot, but rarely define it, I decided to look up the word principle. What is a principle? It's a basic truth. It's a rule or standard. A principle is a distillation of information into few words so that you can remember the principle when you forget some of the words. Now, today I want to draw from the Proverbs six principles that are timeless. I've never done this before, not with you, and not for a long time. And so I looked up the synonyms. This is how I did it, so you don't think it's some kind of secret gift that I have and you don't. I looked up synonyms like, of course, money, wealth, riches, lending, borrowing, saving, spending, giving, even the word plenty, abundance, as well as, of course, the coin of the realm in that day, silver and gold. Proverbs is dripping with information that every one of us would be wise to heed. So let me help you with this by showing you six timeless principles that are helpful for you from this day on. Write them out as you hear them and review them. As I'll say later, pass them on to someone else. Here's the first. Those who honor God with their money are blessed by Him in return. Those who honor God with their money are blessed by Him in return. You can count on that. You provide a faithful offering before the Lord, and you do that consistently, you will know His pleasure in many ways. Neither in the Bible nor in life can anyone guarantee you'll get back what you give. So the prosperity gospel is a lot of nonsense. Don't believe it. But the part of the truth is this: when you give faithfully and consistently, God rewards you in a number of ways, which is what these proverbs are about. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Verse 9 is a command and verse 10 is a promise. They go together. They're called a couplet. A couplet. Look at the command. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And then the promise, which is written in the days when agriculture was the common way of earning a living, he says, he will then fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. These are word pictures. Be careful about making any promise, walk on all fours. What he is saying is that you will be blessed as a result of obeying him with your generosity. He will honor our giving to him, giving that is faithful, that is consistent, that is generous, that is happily given. It's helpful to remember that God owns it all, isn't it? Hold your place here and look at Luke chapter 6. Will you do that? Over in the New Testament. Luke 6, verse 38. It's a similar statement. This one is made by Jesus, Luke 6, 38. But these are other words used to say the same thing. Luke 6, 38. Give and you will receive. Jesus adds, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. In other words, you're generous, you'll get in return a generous blessing from God. Back to Proverbs chapter 3. I would not want to embarrass my sister, but I'll tell you a story that relates to her and to me when we talked about money. My sister's never married, as many of you know Lucy. And back a number of years ago, she made a comment to me and said that she was not really faithful in giving because she was afraid, as a single woman, she could run out. And she said, I'm making an amount of money for a living and my expenses are high, but I'm concerned that I don't give. And I said, why don't you begin by giving at least 10%? Trust God for that, sis. And she said, like 10% of what I make, which is fairly obvious what I had in mind. And I said, yeah, why don't you do that? She said, I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid I'm going to run out. I said, if you run out, let me know, and I'll help you. I didn't know how I was going to help her, but at least I want to encourage her not to be afraid. So she gave. I think a little over a year passed before she checked back in with me. She said, I have to tell you something. What you said is true. I said, I didn't say it. It's a principle from the Bible. I'm just telling you what it said. She said, in all honesty, I've now upped my giving to 12%. I said, that's great. Have you thought about 20%? She swallowed hard and walked away, as I remember. No, she didn't. She said, I'll do that. I don't know what her percentage is now, but she's a remarkable model of generosity because she took God at his word. She wasn't afraid. By faith, she believed God means what he says. And since he owns it all, it's not like we're giving him something he's never had. The reason we give is not because he needs, but because we need to know the joy of trusting him and watching him work. Now, his return to you may be an enormous sense of relief, peace of mind. I don't know, but what he may plan to give you great health or joy in relationships that you've not known before. Or he may return to you an amount of money you never expected. Every once in a while, Insight for Living will receive a gift. Sometime our church will receive a gift from a source we don't know about. And out of the blue, the Lord prompts someone to give a sizable gift. And how encouraged we are when we receive it. And I think of a proverb like this. You honor the Lord with your wealth. You handle it wisely. You save it carefully. You earn it well. You be careful not to overspend. And then you give, trusting him to bless, and he does. He will. Or, this is a lie. We know it's not a lie. God doesn't fill in the blank by making us feel good about things. This is a promise. So those who honor him with their money are blessed by him in return. Here's a second principle. Those who make money their passion lose more than they gain. Those who make money their passion lose more than they gain. When you make money your passion, then you're guilty of being greedy. You are loving money. And it's the love of money that roots all evil, according to what Paul wrote to Timothy. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. Look at the early part. You bring grief to your family. I've never seen it fail. Even expensive gifts will not take the place of meaningful, long-standing, loving, harmonious relationships.
We're just getting started with these six timeless principles from Proverbs. Chuck Swindoll is presenting a teaching series called Hilarious Generosity. Keep listening because he's prepared a closing comment coming up in just a moment. Most people have heard about Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching through this daily radio program called Insight for Living. But many are discovering Chuck's teaching through other avenues, such as YouTube, our daily podcast, and our mobile app. And then before I turn things over to Chuck, I'd like to say thank you to those who financially support Insight for Living. Your generosity has a profound spiritual impact. I saw a note from a longtime listener that said, Dear Chuck, your daily radio messages have been a great blessing to my spiritual growth as a Christian and a young seminarian. And today, as a pastor, your daily devotional has been a great blessing as well. May God continue to use you greatly as a blessing to his church and the world at large. And this letter was sent from Nigeria, Africa. Since our first broadcast in 1979 until now, God has magnified the reach of this ministry through generous people like you, and in places we never dreamed possible. Here's Chuck.
We're on the verge of reaching a very significant date in our ministry's history. We're completing 45 years of serving the message of Christ to the world. started back in 1979, and here we are in 2024, and our fiscal year ends the last day of June of this year. Since our beginning, we've always relied on the Lord's leading to support the work of this ministry. We have no grant. We have no denominational background that we can fall back on, no rich group of people that we can call on, though there are some who give sizable gifts. Many support us with smaller gifts, regular gifts, and often some wait until the very end of our fiscal year, and then they give their gift at that time. That may be your style. And there may be some of you who have benefited from our ministry for some time, but you've never sent in a gift. So let me tell you the importance of your donation. Without the giving of God's people, there cannot be Insight for Living Ministries. We can't continue without the faithful support of people just like you. As you look back over your spiritual growth, if Insight for Living has played a part in that, perhaps even a major role in that, we would love to receive from you your gratitude type gift that says, thank you for all that you've provided for me. Here's my gift to you. Use it, and may God bless you as you continue on in your work. We plan to continue on. So let me say in advance, thank you. If you're already a giver and you faithfully provide monthly gifts to us, thank you for that. You'll never know how much that means to us and the planning that we have put into our ministry.
And here's how to respond to Chuck. If you'd prefer to send a personal check in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888. Or it might be quicker to give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Hear Chuck Swindoll present Timeless Principles of Money Management, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Timeless Principles of Money Management, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.